had a Gatling gun. His coolies were okay, and a couple of rifles as well, because he was the leader of the Yorkshire Rifles in the First World War. He was captured actually three times by the Germans and escaped three times. But he wanted to find a way to Everest, the northern side, and this Shangri-La monastery, the Rombuk, the highest monastery in the world, which was inhabited by the reincarnation of the god Chandrasekhar. And he went, this highest, 70,000 metres on Everest, north side. All pristine and new. And he got within 40 miles of Everest, and the Tashirik guard came. And he said, well, I'm a team. They explained, his coolies, that he was a tea merchant from India, and he'd lost his way. And they didn't go. And in the end, they took out all their guns, which were bent and fucking useless, the Tibetans. And so Captain Noel just pissed himself in laughter. Took out my Gatling gun and almost started a war blizzard because, you know, young husband had been invading Tibet earlier on. I just fired over their heads, and they all ran in different directions. It made me laugh a great deal. But I almost started a war with Tibet. It opened up the whole kind of Western Front. But fired over their heads, they ran in all kinds of directions. I never lost a battle in all my life. But of course, I wouldn't go wrong, because they're going probably get another 2,000 men to face me and so forth. But I never see people scatter so much in all my life. And he came back, and he was almost court-martialed, but the general thought, this is this amazing guy. And he's the one who attended the Royal Geographical Society, Captain Noel. And he was the one who said, the North and the South Pole have been conquered. Now we must go to the Third Pole, Everest. And that set of Curzon, wonderful men, he's talking to them now in 1919. He went in 1913 to Everest, and the whole assembly's there. Lord Curzon and Bentley Beetham and Conway. I mean, marvellous names, you know. All these great, you know. And they said, we must, and Conway said, and we must find the man who can lead us. We need a hero, because most of our men have been killed in the First World War, most of our climbers. And it's Mallory, Mallory, Mallory. And that's how the George Lee Mallory thing came. But anyway, I'll just need to Mallory, Captain Earl, I'll talk about now for 2 minutes, and then Mallory for 5 minutes, and that's it. Because I could talk in great detail about the whole thing, and the 1924 expeditions, and 2021 reconnaissance with Mallory. 1922, they went again, the British, and then the great expedition of 1924, when Mallory and Irving disappeared near the summit. But Captain Noel, there's a tremendous amount of film. Captain Noel filmed the 22 expedition, he was there. And he filmed the 24 expedition. And his filming is wonderful. But there's so little of Mallory. He never wanted to be filmed much. And finding the truth about Mallory is always odd, because he's romantic. Mm-hmm. And when he appeared at Cambridge, Cambridge stood still. And people, women, and went, oh, what's in love? And this, we called him Sir Galahad. He has such a beautiful life and a beauty of expression and a beauty of form when he climbs this great, wonderful Mallory. And all the climbers, all the top climbers said, oh, amazing to watch, and this and a poet, because it is there. I compare climbing Mount Everest to a first, second and third symphony when I climb Mont Blanc. He combined it to symphonies, wrote the most wonderful stuff about mountains. I said, Mallory. But he had little film money. Captain Noel had very little film. And of course, the BBC said, look, we're going to make Galahad of Everest, but we've got to film Captain Noel, because he's 97. And it would be my ambition, I said, oh God, to meet Noel, the last remaining man alive. And the BBC said, we've got to ask that. This was before we got the full money for the Everest film. So they arranged to meet Noel in Brenzett, Romney Marsh. Imagine that, in the flatlands. And we went down there, and they opened the door, the BBC. And it was one of the most wonderful moments in my life. I went in there. And we see John Paul Davison, everybody said, Brian, look through that doorway. And he was just in a wheelchair. He can walk, he's just in a wheelchair, with great big hands, full head of hair.
Hello, Britain. I know why you come to see me. You think I'm going to conk off?
I said, yes. You're going to die anyway. And I had this kind of almost wonderful, truthful, almost ruthless relationship with him. I said, Captain, because I'd done Long John Silver on television at the time. He was Long John Silver. You know. And he thought I was about 2 feet taller than you.
Right.
I don't know why he did. He said, a blessed he's so tall. But everyone thinks I'm 9 feet. A blessed he's so tall.
they said to me that he actually doesn't need to climb it, he'd better look down on it. And he said, and I said, but Norton was very tall, wasn't he? He was 6'7", Norton, on the first assault team, the great Norton. And yes, he was very tall, but he wasn't as tall as you. And so he'd always say this strange thing, that's incredibly tall. And he said, but now tell me this, oh, good heavens, Long John Silver, you're bullying, you don't have bully me, Long John Silver, don't you? So this great relationship. I said, but you keep repeating yourself. You're telling me things now that you've told everybody. I ask you about Mallory and different people, and every time it comes to Mallory, it's the same bloody answer you give me. You know, this is after several weeks of being with him, filming on and off, because I was paying for it myself, because before we got the money for Galahad, that's the BBC. So I must film him before he dies. And he said, oh, good heavens. And I said, you keep saying he's noble, that he was noble and wiry. Incredibly wiry and noble, beautiful. No! Didn't you like him? And he said, well, of course I liked him, I loved him, but he was always writing confounded love letters in my tent. Yes! Yes! Now you're saying something. And it was a breakthrough. In my tent, love letters, and then, you know, we got to 23,000 feet that first time, and there was the summit of Everest, and the moon was out, and, you know, it gripped him, but he was out of the tent. He was walking up and down the ridge, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, George, do come back in the tent. It had gripped him, you see. He was Ahab, you see. The mountain had gripped him now. So then, from that day on, I got the most marvellous stuff. He was very impatient. He was terribly impatient. He could be quite hot-tempered, because he was so fast, you see. He was always, come on. Oh, God, you're all slowing me up. So that everyone was too slow for him. And so forth. So I had this marvellous thing. And of course, ultimately, you know the end of the story, that Mallory and Irving were last seen. Norton and Somerville went to 28,000 feet. Norton then went on for another 126,000 feet without oxygen. Amazing. And they came down. He went on to the North Face somewhat. He didn't follow the first step and the second step. He thought that couldn't be climbed. So Norton veered across with Somerville. Somerville had lost half his throat, so he had to turn. Norton had to come back because he was going snowblind. So there was, he'd taken his glasses off, and he shouldn't, because it was rocks, but the ultraviolet was being reflected off the rocks. They managed to get back down to the North Col. They were helped by people. And immediately they were back at the North Col at 23,000 feet. That's the final ridge up to the summit. This is the North Col, which is vast. They came across, Mallory had arrived with Irving. And Mallory had said, I'm going to go for one last attempt. He's worked out the oxygen, Irving. He was brilliant with oxygen, and he simplified it. And I think we can do it. And Norton said, you know, in his dispatches, I was amazed at Mallory's tenacity and courage that he would now take it on. And I'm going to just come to the end of that, because that's what he wrote. And brilliant that he was going to go for it. I said, really? Take O'Dell, who's much more experienced. No, I want young Irving, who was a thruster. He was a thruster, like Lord Hunt was when we first climbed it. He was a thruster, the leader. Some people are not thrusters. And Irving was a thruster. He was only 21, 22, but he was powerful. And that's what Mallory wanted, somebody along that to be slow. And from that point on, of course, the next morning, Mallory and Irving went to 25,000 feet. Using this oxygen, there were many cylinders up there, and it worked. And they got 25,000 feet. The next day they went to 27,000 feet, and they stayed there the night. And then O'Dell came up as a support climber, and he went up. And Mallory and Irving set off early that morning. And then O'Dell looked up at 1 o'clock, and he saw these two figures on the final summit ridge. And he realised it was Mallory and Irving above the second step. And they were going strongly for the summit. And the mists came down. And they were never seen again. And of course, there are millions of theories as to what happened. And we found, there they were, and we've now found Mallory's body there. And I thought the Americans, they'd been criticised, but they accidentally came across Mallory's body here from a fall. He'd still got the rope tied around him and all frayed. And so, and obviously, you know, and I thought they handled it very well. The British wanted to find him, or they didn't want him found. When we went up there, we weren't looking for bodies. We were paying tribute to the great climbers and their great ideals. Had we come across Mallory, we, as our expert, would have covered him up. We were actually very close to him. That was agreed amongst us, so we just covered him up. Forget it.
I told the family I would do that. If I've ever come across him, I'll cover him up. I won't fucking look. I won't disturb him and this, that, and the other. Anyway, the Americans did, and they found all kinds of things on him, which intimated success, it would seem. There was no Irving, and he was found there directly below the second step. And, of course, people said it was impossible. The second step is just 20 feet, quite rugged. There's a Chinese ladder there.
Yes. Yeah.
But I've talked to you about Messner, and Mallory's the same. I've climbed with quite a lot of brilliant climbers. A lot of Tan I've climbed with, and Kushner, the Pole. And they are a different fucking animal to what we are. They can fucking get up things, mate. And there are several fucking cracks alongside the ladder. Hand jamming. Leaning. Mallory would have pissed it. Irving, you could have then gone up there, tied his rocks above and tied it off and bring Irving up on a tight rope. He would tell him, hand jam. Or, you know, etc. Or if he couldn't do it at that point, he couldn't get up the second step, it was quite decent ground for him to get back to the high camp, Irving. And Mary could have gone on his own, because he got the rope there.
Yeah.
He put the rope over. And, you know, so there, anyway. Therefore, it's still to this day what the hell happened. I almost finished it. So there we are. And Captain Neil is dead. And he was 99 when he died. I wanted to have him flown in a jet over the mountain while I was up there to wave to us on a jet plane. But he died when we set off and so forth. He's wonderful in our film, Captain Neil, and so forth. And so he died. So they were all dead. Odell was dead. He lived to 97. Amazing. But Norton and Somerville and everybody, they're all dead.
So you got the last one?
No, so... 3 years ago, the phone rang here. And that's 1990. They died. That was in fucking old fucking 99, 97. And the phone rang here. And then the Australian said to me, "We're selling you a film, Brian," the Australian mountaineers said. "You know, we think you should have it. It's been dedicated to you." And I received the fucking film. And no one's ever seen it. I put it on there. And the man came into frame. "Hello, it's nice to talk to you. I'm Nicky Wetherill." And of course, I was on the second unit with Captain Lowell in 1924. I was only 15.
15?
Yes. "We've been looking at your film on the beach here, Galahad of Everest. It's really lovely. I have to tell you, Brian, a lot of things. You see, I filmed Marion Irving later than when Odell saw them. I had a little camera on them, and I've got footage of them on the final pyramid," which is really by the summit. And he went on and on. "I said, look, I'm going to send it all to you, Brian, this film," and it was a lovely film he talked about. And then he talked about the different characters. "What did he say? Oh, Mary had a filthy temper." And my favourite was Somerville. He was such a jolly nice guy. But Mary was very impatient with us all. And of course, I was on the North Col when Norton and Somerville came down. Norton with off his throat coughed up. And Norton blind. And we put bandages on him. And then Mary and Irving. And Norton was in terrible pain. He's the leader of the expedition. And Mary, leader of the climbing expedition. But Norton was in charge. And Mallory said, "I'm going to go up for the summit. I'm going to make one final dash with Irving." And Norton said, no crowd. You cannot, under any circumstances, go for the summit. You've been working so hard the last 5 days, and you've had to save some lives, etc. And he said, "You're completely exhausted, Mallory. You shouldn't be going for the summit." And apparently, Mallory completely and utterly lost his temper with Norton.